AARP Iowa is starting to flex its muscle when it comes to nonpartisan issues. How do we know? Because you're just a few seconds away from a conversation with Brad Anderson, the state director for AARP Iowa. We'll be talking about several things from local option sales tax to livable communities to prescription drug costs. This is something you don't want to miss. Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of Taro International. When you possess the right skills, your career and your business can excel. From communication skills to sales skills to executive presence, you can learn a lot from Taro International. Find out more at TERO.com.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of Arion HR, Human Resource Management, so you don't have to. AURIONHR.com, and the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, whose members serve the ag community with new and used parts. NTPDA.com.
It is the Business News Hour. Thanks for clicking through. We are with Brad Anderson from AARP Iowa. We're going to be talking about a whole host of things that are important to family members in the state of Iowa, no matter your age. Brad, welcome back to the Business News Hour. Good to see you here.
Always good to be on the show, Michael.
You have now some time under your belt here, man, traveling all over the place, right?
I know. God, I feel like I've been here for 7 months. I'm still a baby by AARP standards, but I've been here for a while now. So
yeah, it must be very rewarding for you, because I know how I'm going to be careful here. I know your desire to do good.
Yes.
And that has always been your driving factor. You must feel like you've landed in the lap of your mission.
It is. It is truly amazing to be a part of AARP for a number of reasons. But if you want to do good things, right, you want to help the 50-plus community, to be a part of an organization that has 370,000 members across the state, plus the resources to actually do good things, you know, for a nonprofit, it's just amazing. I mean, and I pinch myself every day I come through the door, because we actually do have a great impact on the community. We're going to talk a little bit about that.
You mean
impact.
I get to do this?
I can't even believe I have this job. And I was telling my wife the other night, you know, just how amazing it is to have the chance to work at a nonprofit, do good things, and again, have the resources to actually have an impact.
It is the resource.
Great.
And you have 370,000 people. You have a constituency, excuse me, that is massive.
We're the largest organization in the state.
Yeah, sometimes I don't think people get that.
I think you're right. And I think when you look at, for example, if you want to do some work in Des Moines, right? And you look at the membership base just in Des Moines, it's astounding. And we're the largest organization in Des Moines. We're the largest organization in Windsor Heights. We're the largest organization in Denison. You know, it's whether you're a big community or a small community, AARP, I don't think people fully realize that we are likely, almost in all instances, the largest organization in that community.
Now, as one of the largest organizations, or the largest organization in the state of Iowa, outside of perhaps the political organizations that are out there, as a nonprofit, you guys can flex your muscles on a number of programs, and you've done that.
We have, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about what happened recently in Polk County, anyway, relative to the local option sales tax.
Yeah, for the first time, we got involved in a local ballot initiative. And, you know, AARP Iowa has not gotten involved at the local level like we just did with the local option sales tax. We have in other states, but not really in Iowa. And what that meant was we sent mail, we knocked on doors, we did handwritten postcards, we did a telephone town hall, all because we wanted to pass the local option sales tax. And the reason we were so invested this time for this specific initiative is because we've been fighting a long time to have Des Moines become an age-friendly city, and our livable community work. And what that means is safe streets. It means multimodal transportation lanes. It means connected sidewalks. It means a lot of things. But in order to get that stuff done, you need resources.
You got to pay for it.
You got to pay for it. And so we made the decision back in December, you know, it's one thing to say that we're going to get this stuff done. It's another thing to actually, you know, put money where your mouth is and try and get the resources to make it happen. So we got involved in the campaign, and I have to say it was enormously rewarding because our volunteers, for example, just what they did alone, they wrote 2,300 handwritten postcards in, I think, a four-week window. 2,300 handwritten postcards. And people, anecdotally, they get, you get mail, you get phone calls, but when you get something that's a handwritten thing, you know,
it's a cool deal.
It breaks through. And so I think we were able to have a great impact, and we won with 70% of the vote. And what that means for Des Moines is $37 million additional dollars to use for our age-friendly, livable community work.
Right.
It's a very big deal.
And, you know, I have to also parrot that. Our local Chamber of Commerce in the little community of Windsor Heights took this on as well. We door-knocked. We sent mailers. We phone-called. We had meetups with citizens, all to push the local option sales tax. And we garnered 65% of the vote.
Wow.
And so, yeah, because it is important, if you look at the bigger picture, and the bigger picture, if we want to create communities that are livable, and we're going to talk about that in a second, you got to have the resources.
You got to have the resources. And I think, to your credit, to the credit of the leaders in Des Moines and other communities that passed this, to articulate clearly how the money is going to be spent is a big deal. Because I know they've tried to pass referendums in the past. They've been unsuccessful. And I think because taxpayers were just not clear on how the money was spent. But here in Des Moines, for example, you know, it's safe streets, it's public safety EMS services, it's storm drains and sewers, and it's property tax relief.
Yeah.
It's not really complicated. And I think voters like all that stuff.
Yeah. Brad Anderson, ladies and gentlemen, he is the executive director of AARP Iowa. I want to flip gears here for just a moment because you mentioned something about livable communities. And this is a business show, Brad. You know that. You know, I guess I could spend my time on social issues, but I'm really motivated by economics and business and what drives our economy. And I think that sometimes, just as we've discussed AARP Iowa as being this massive organization with all of these people, I think sometimes we're missing what a livable community means, but more importantly, what that means for economic development in our cities and towns.
You know, it's absolutely livable communities, as far as AARP's work, are an economic issue. You cannot deny that, because if you look at our demographics in Iowa, we are getting older. Every single county in every single city across Iowa is aging, right? And in the next decade or two, for the first time, we're going to have more people who are over the age of 65 for the first time in American history than under the age of 18. That is a very big it's a very big demographic shift. And to your point on economics, 51 cents of every dollar is spent by those over the age of 50. So communities that are not taking into account the needs of older Iowans or older Americans are burying their head in the sand, and they're not taking advantage. Don't think of it as a bad thing, because frankly, it's the older folks that have the money. So if I were a community in Iowa, I would do everything I can to make sure that our city was age-friendly and to make sure that we were attracting older Iowans to our communities, because they're the ones with the money. They're the ones that can spend money in shops and restaurants. And so what are the steps that you're going to take to make sure that your city is comfortable, amenable, and livable for those over the age of 50? But when AARP talks about livable community work, we always like to say it's from 8 to 80. Because if you put a park bench down—
Because this is really age-inclusive.
It's inclusive. If you put a park bench down, just using that as a very specific example, you know, kids are going to sit there. And
you're not going to say reserved for those over 55.
You're not going to say that. Moms are going to use it with strollers, and older Iowans are going to use it. It is 8 to 80. Everyone's going to use that park bench, but it's something that AARP considers livable, right? It is making things like that make your community more livable for everyone, and that's what we're fighting for.
All right, let's talk about what goes into making a community more livable. I suspect it's lots of different things. So can we tick down a list of most recognizable things?
We can. And I can get very specific with you. For example, here in Des Moines, right? When we talk about livable communities, And it's different from every community as far as the nature of AARP's work. But here in Des Moines, we have focused on safer streets and multimodal transportation lanes and connected sidewalks. What does that mean? Well, let's take a very concrete example. If you shrink a traffic lane from 12 feet to 11 feet or to 10 feet, what happens is the traffic goes slower, right? And what that ultimately entails is why we care about that is when you are a person trying to cross the road, you are less likely to get hit by a car if traffic goes slower. And every study that has been done on this shows that to be true. And so the work that we're trying to do here in Des Moines, make the community more livable by making the traffic slow down a little bit, connect the sidewalks, and make it easier to allow older Iowans, but everybody, again, this is everybody.
8 to 80.
Make it easier for them to cross the street. And when they're walking around sidewalks, you know, we did this in Ingersoll, right? We made a bike lane.
Right.
Initially, people were really upset, here in Des Moines. If you talk to all the business owners right now, they love them. Because what's happened is traffic has slowed down, but the community is more walkable. People are walking up and down the streets. They'll go from one bar to one restaurant, and that creates a rising tide lifts all boats, right? More people are going to that area because the area is more livable. It is not a complicated thing, Michael. I mean, you know this. It is not a complicated thing. If you make a place less dangerous, more people will go there, more dollars are spent, and it's an economic issue, and it's a boon to communities. So right now we're doing this in Des Moines. We're starting a livable community pilot project in Cedar Rapids, and I'm also really excited because we're also starting our livable community work in Charles City. So we've got a urban community, we're going to have a rural community, and then we're going to have the second largest city in Iowa.
So. All right. So talk to me about the early adoption for Charles City or Cedar Rapids.
So what we do is we'll go to that community, we'll hold a public forum, and we'll say, what do you want? Because we don't want this to be a top-down thing. You know, we don't want to come into Charles City and say, here's what we think you need to do to make your community more livable. That doesn't help anyone. What we want to do is hear from people in Charles City. And we've had that forum already in Charles City. On April 4th, we're going to have that forum in Cedar Rapids. And so then we meet with city officials because to become, you know, for us to have a robust part of this work in these cities, we need to have buy-in from the cities, right? So not to get too technical, but we do need to get some kind of letter from city officials like we did in Des Moines to say that we're interested in. Usually there's a planning phase, and it's about a five-year process where we bring the community in. We talk about what it is that you want to do to make your community more livable. How can AARP help? Are there surveys that are needed, et cetera? We put a plan together, and at the end of 5 years, you get a stamp of approval from AARP and the World Health Organization, and it's a very big deal because then all of a sudden your community is recognized as age-friendly.
Now, when we talk about Cedar Rapids, for example, and we spend a couple of seconds on this, because what's important about that community is how they have resurrected themselves from that terrible flood that was just a couple of years ago, and they have done so much infrastructure work in their city. And and so this would be just frosting on the cake, wouldn't it?
It would be, and I have to give a ton of credit to Cedar Rapids. If you go to Cedar Rapids now, their streets are amazing. And I'm not convinced AARP is really going to spend much time focusing on the streets because and the sidewalks there, because Cedar Rapids has already done an awesome job. They've got it, and they have really paid attention to what's known in the industry as complete streets, you know, and that includes sidewalks, it includes multimodal transportation lanes, it includes narrow streets and safe streets. And so Cedar Rapids has a ton going for it right now. The space that we're kind of interested in Cedar Rapids is public transportation. Mm. Again, very much an economic issue because if you've got workers that need to get to a job but can't afford a car, we've got to find a way to get those workers to that job. And so and especially for older Americans that want to get from point A to point B. And so we've talked with the city officials there, but we haven't landed on anything. We haven't landed on anything really in Charles City yet. And we're not really supposed to for the first year. We're going to have a conversation
You have to react input. To the feedback.
And we've done a survey. We're just listening right now. But once we do land on something, as you've seen in Des Moines, we bring a lot to the table. And I hope communities that are out there listening understand that. If you want our help, just ask, and we'll do what we can to help out.
Brad Anderson, ladies and gentlemen, the executive director of AARP Iowa. There's another initiative that you've got going here in the state, and that's about pharmaceuticals. What's going on?
Well, we have made the decision to take on the drug companies, which we don't make that decision lightly, of course. But the cost of pharmaceutical drugs, prescription drugs, are out of control. And something needs to be done. It's currently not sustainable. And you see, our members, time and time again, see their drugs, you know, one day going from $60 to the next month going to $500. In fact, we have an executive council member in Sioux City who needed to get another part-time job after he retired just to pay for his prescription drugs. And it's just, you know, in other countries, they've seemed to figure this out in a way that America has not. And so what we have decided at AARP is we're going to take both a federal and a state approach to this issue. And so we're actually working really closely with Charles Grassley, who's been really good on this issue. For example, he has sponsored the CREATES Act, which the CREATES Act would open up access to generic drugs by blocking anti-competitive behavior by drug companies.
Sure.
It's a very big deal.
It's
a very big issue. And so that's one thing. We're also supportive of allowing Medicare to negotiate. Why not? I mean, why would we not want to negotiate for lower drug costs for taxpayers?
Hello?
But also this issue of reimportation is a big one, because reimportation for drugs, safe drugs from Canada, is something that we could both do at the federal level and the state level. There are some states that have already implemented reimportation legislation, and we believe let's take an all hands on deck approach to this issue. So after we pass the CARE Act in Iowa, pharmaceutical drug costs is going to be something that we're going to look very closely at as far as our next big initiative here in the state of Iowa, and it's something we're currently looking at federally.
When we talk about reintroduction of drugs, I suspect that how that works is drug A is manufactured in the United States, and then it is shipped to, let's say, Canada.
Yep.
And the Canadians have access to that at a far cheaper price than what Americans do. And so, which is of itself just a little bizarre.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, so you're suggesting that Americans, Iowans, should be able to re-import those drugs back to the United States.
Yeah.
That are already made here.
They're made here, but they're sold cheaper in Canada, and sometimes 5-10 times the cost in America to buy the drug. So as opposed to paying $500 a month for a drug, you could reimport it from Canada and pay $50 a month. You know, that's a simplified version, because there are other issues involved. One of them is Canada going to have enough supply if we do this at the federal level to supply Americans with these drugs? But honestly, Michael, the fact that we even have to talk about this and you laid it out so plainly. We make the drugs here in America, ship them to Canada. We have to buy them back from Canada. It's just nonsense. The whole process is nonsense. And in America, we pay the highest drug cost than any country on earth. And so, but the good news is Republicans and Democrats understand that. Donald Trump has made this an issue. Chuck Grassley has made this an issue. Nancy Pelosi has made this an issue. I really do fundamentally believe this is going to be something that is addressed on a bipartisan basis. And our polling shows that 80+% of Americans and Iowans on both sides of the aisle demand something to be done immediately. So what other issue do you get 80% support from on both sides of the aisle? So this to me is a layup. We're going to get it done. We're going to make it a big deal. We're going to be talking about it during the presidential caucuses. We're going to be talking about it during the general election. And we're going to make this a multi-year campaign.
Brad Anderson, ladies and gentlemen, AARP Iowa. Brad, always a pleasure to come and sit down with you because, you know, one of the things that I think is so incredible about AARP on a national basis and here in the Iowa basis is the far-reaching effects that this organization can truly have if it goes to work.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, Michael, and it's always good to share that with your listeners. And, you know, a lot of these issues are business issues, and the fact that you understand that the prescription drug campaign is very much a business issue. It's something that business owners deal with every day. And so I appreciate getting a chance to talk to your audience about these.
Thanks again.
Yeah, thank you.
Once again, that was Brad Anderson, the state director for AARP Iowa. You want to learn more about the organization? We do have a link up on our radio blog. And if you like what you heard, subscribe to our daily podcast. We do this Monday through Friday every day at 5 o'clock, but you can listen on your own time. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, the NewsHour, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing falls to Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business NewsHour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett from Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Brad Anderson, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening. Be safe, be well, be careful most of all. Be good to your fellow man. Good day.